Luke chapter 22, look at verse 39, only just a couple of verses of scripture. The Bible says, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And I just want to preach this morning on a little simple message, just as a thought and a title, called unto prayer. I want you to pray with me this morning and pray for me. Father, we thank you today for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for the help that comes from your Spirit and, Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we ask you to touch us, Lord, and give us understanding. Lord, and not from the pulpit to the pew. God, in everything that's done, God, that your will would be done. God, give strength, give power. God, give a stirring in our soul. God, I pray today, Lord, that when we leave this convention, it will be said, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And so, Father, today we ask it according to your word, by the power of the Spirit. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you give help and understanding in all things, and we'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Called unto prayer. I know that prayer is something that should be taken, and most people maybe consider it just as an acceptable thing, if you will, in our lives. But what I thought about was it's the more necessity of how that God would actually call us to prayer. Amen. Because I found it true. I found it true among people, and even in my own life at times, that it seems like that calling is taken not in the seriousness of what it should be, but that God would call us unto prayer. I realize God calls men and women to vast array, many different things, and people want to admonish and acknowledge what God's called us to do. And that's right. But I'm telling you, I don't believe there's any greater call from God than there is for his people to pray. And you say, man, I tell you, I look around and I hear all these preachers, and I see all of these young preacher men, if you will. And I don't want this to be taken wrong in any manner, because I see it in my life. But I tell you right now, I believe we'd do more to teach men and women to pray than we'd ever do to try and teach them to preach. Because I want to tell you something this morning. Amen. A man or a woman, they cannot do anything without prayer. But I'll tell you right now, man can preach if he'll pray. Can you say, man? Oh yeah. A man cannot preach if he is not praying. But I declare unto you that whatsoever God calls us to do, amen, if we'll bathe it in prayer, I said if we'll surround it in prayer, whatever it is, I'm telling you, we can do it successfully for the Lord, and the preaching of the gospel, amen, will come through with great fervency and come through with great power. It'll come through with great effect and come through with great result. I want to tell you today, amen, when I read this text, Lord, I see those disciples going with the Lord. I said it before, I can't imagine what it would have been to have literally walked with the Lord. I read in the Bible where the Word of God tells us that we might feel after the Lord. Can you say, man? I'll tell you something, I may not have ever seen him in bodily form, but I'm glad today I can feel after him. And I'll tell you something, I'm glad today, amen, that feeling after him, I can find him. But I tell you, those disciples that walked with God, amen, I believe it was the Apostle Peter that said, we've handled him. We've touched him. I don't know what that literally feels like, but I tell you, I know what it feels like, amen, to reach after him and happily to feel after him and to know what his presence feels like. When I see those disciples walking with the Lord, he spent all night almost with them. He's poured, I'm telling you right now, amen, he's poured his soul out to them in that upper room. He's talked to them. He's instructed them. And now he carries them out to that garden. Amen. He goes with them and they with him. I don't know what was going through their mind. I don't know what they understood. But he brought them out to that place that the Bible says, Gethsemane. And he tells them to wait. He said, I'm going to go yonder and pray. And I'm telling you, he tells them to watch with him. The emphasis and the implication is more than just with open eyes to look at him and to observe him. I believe God, amen, the Son, was calling on those disciples, amen, to pray. I want to tell you something. It's more than just making a petty petition in an hour of need or just in a moment of crisis. I believe today, amen, that the church has been called to pray. We'll do more to pray than we will anything else. Listen, I understand it. Please, don't hear what I'm not saying. Amen. If we ever needed the word preached, Brother Peach, we need it today. And I heard a preacher saying already, it's not going to be a famine of the preaching of the word. It's going to be a famine of the hearing of the word. And I tell you today, if preaching was all it took, amen, to send revival, we'd have done had revival. We've got the greatest preaching. Amen. But I'm telling you, God's a calling us. Those disciples walked out with him. He goes a little farther to pray in one of the gospels. Amen. It is described that he went just a stone's throw away. I thought about that. I thought how close. You gotta hear me. I thought about how close they were to the Lord. Amen. Hearing his command, hearing his voice, hearing his call. I tell you right now, amen, I like what I've heard preachers say. My daddy, listen, I had great privilege. I'm raised up in a preacher's home. Sat on a pew. Amen. From the time I was in my mother's womb. Hey, great God. Amen. But until I knew the Lord, but I tell you, I a great privilege. Amen. Being raised in a preacher's home. Amen. Raised in a Christian home and in the church. But I'll tell you right now. Amen. When I heard the voice of the Lord, these disciples. Amen. So close. Amen. To hear his voice and to hear his call. I'm telling you today, we do better to pray. Amen. Than anything else. I'll tell you, prayer and action go together. Prayer and action, just like faith and works. You can't separate them. Amen. Prayer and action go together, just like being a hearer and being a doer of the word. Amen. Prayer and action go together. Amen. Just like the disciples. Amen. In the early church. Amen. When they're come a disputing and they call those together and said, pick you out. Amen. Men full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And here's why they wanted it. They said that we may give ourselves continually to the word and to prayer. Can I tell you? Amen. Prayer and action go together. Amen. Like prayer and the word. Like hearing and doing. Like faith and works. I want to say it again. We'd do better. Amen. To teach our children. Amen. How to pray. Listen. Amen. I thank God for talents and gifts. Amen. I thank God for good singing. I thank God. Oh, God, help me today. I'm glad, amen, he let my girls, amen, and my wife have a gift and a talent to sing, amen, and then leave it up to me. But I'll tell you, they'd be more accomplished, if I'd say it one more time, they'd be more accomplished in prayer. If I teach my girls to pray more than anything else. I'm not here trying to instruct. I'm not here trying to correct as if pastors, amen, and you good people don't know, amen. But if I can just say it, amen, I'm telling you what sometimes seems to be the most needful is oftentimes observed as the most simple and sometimes the most neglected. Can I tell you, for anybody to pray, oh my God, for anybody to pray, there must first be a desire. There's got to be a desire. Glory to God. I can look at great... Listen, hey man, I was listening. Oh my God. I was listening just over the past few weeks. Hey man, and getting stirred. Hey man, on messages that I'd heard men. Hey man, from this convention preach. Hey man, I remember a message entitled Rooted in Pentecost. I'm telling you right now. But can I say, hey man, that listening to good preaching. Hey man, without a desire to do what I'm hearing, amen, does nothing but fall dead on the ground. And for a man or a woman, amen, to really pray, amen, there's got to be a desire, an inner yearning, amen, that's calling out as deep calleth unto deep, amen, for a desire and a result for God to come on the scene and God to make a difference and for a change to take place. A yearning, a desire. That desire comes, I believe, amen, from something nothing less, amen, than a want of the presence of God. And I'm telling you, if there's anything lacking, I believe it, Brother Prescott, if there's anything lacking in my life, if there's anything lacking in the life of men and women, amen, I believe it's the desire to earnestly and fervently pray. God, give us a desire. God, give us a desire. Hey, listen, I know there's many a great meeting, amen, that go on, but I believe right here, amen, in Martinsville, Virginia, amen, if we could grab a hold of a desire, if we could grab a hold of a desire, a yearning from within to say, God, more than just a talent, amen, I want to pray. More than just a gift, I want to pray. More than just another great message, more than just another the great man. God, I want to pray. My God, hallelujah. There's got to be a desire. I had a desire to come to this meeting. Say amen. Hey, yeah. It was more than just a little bit of a want to. Hey, amen. I believe there's a lot of folk that felt the same way that I did. Hey, amen. A desire, a yearning from within. Brother Peach means that we're going to move things out of the way. You're going to help me for just a moment. We're going to move things out of the way. Hallelujah. We're going to let God rearrange and put in order. Hey, amen. How it needs to be placed so that that desire, hey, amen, can become, hallelujah, a dedication. And that's what it takes, because the dedication in the life of a man or a woman means they're willing for the discipline in order for that desire, amen, to become a devotion, amen, and an expression, and a life expression. Churches are built. They can fill them up. Buildings, but not on prayer. And when all of the activity stop, when all of the commotion, come on now, hey, but I'm telling you, I've said it before. Listen, I do believe, amen, you can have a holiness church. Amen. I believe you can grow a holiness church. Somebody say amen if you believe that. I said, I believe you can. Amen. I've seen too many of them. But I'll tell you what I do desire. And I'll tell you what I would rather have. I'd rather have a remnant. I'd rather have a group. Amen. That wants God and nothing else. Amen. I'd rather have a people. Amen. That says, I want to pray. Glory to God. I've got a desire to pray. I've got a dedication to pray. It's become a delight in my life. It's what I desire. It's what I long for. It's what I crave. Here are those disciples. They followed him. They followed him out to that garden. They sat around that table of fellowship and communion with him. They've listened to him talk. They've watched his actions. Listened to what he spoke and what he said. They sung hymns with him. Oh yeah. Now they get up and they go out. And all he's asking them, come on now. All he's asking them. I'll tell you what I like about convention. Like one preacher said, I really like everything about it. But I'll tell you what I like about it. Amen. It'll get you to searching. Amen. Your life. If all I do is come and swing from the chandeliers. Amen. And shout a little bit. Amen. I'm going to go home as shallow. Amen. As the charismatic down the road. But if I can get in that altar. Amen. And search my heart. I'll tell you, that's what prayer does. Prayer lays bare the soul unto God. But I'll tell you what also it does. It builds up a defense against the enemy. And I'll tell you right now, if I can get in that altar, when Jeremiah wrote, amen, he wrote about the heart being deceitfully wicked. But the Lord said that I search the heart. But then I heard the psalmist write, amen, and he give an invitation unto the Almighty. Search me, O Lord. You got an open invitation. Oh, God, hit me. You got an open invitation to come into my life. Amen. In the search. 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 There'll be no back rooms closed. Somebody help me right here. Hey, glory to God. There'll be no bedroom door shut. Somebody help me. You can search the house. You can search the property. Search me, O God. That's what happens to a praying people. Glory to God. Those disciples followed him out. And all he asked them to do was watch and pray. Watch and pray. Oh, God, help us this morning. I'm going to tell you, I also believe. Amen. I believe God wills to send and give revival. I do. More than we desire him to give it. Amen. Can I tell you something? Amen. Not one thing has to change in God's nature. Not one thing has to change in his character. Not one thing has to change in his attributes for him to save a sinner. Amen. He stands waiting. He stands ready. Amen. When confession, repentance is made. Amen. Nothing has to change in God because that's what he wants. And I declare unto you on a Friday morning, amen, nothing has to change in the nature or the character or the attributes of God to give us revival. He stands waiting. What he's doing is calling the people to pray. I'll tell you right now, amen, if we'd have more in the prayer room than we got in the playroom, amen, I believe we could have, amen, a revival. If we take the messages we've heard, amen, in the Spirit of God we felt, and say, God, drive me to prayer. They followed him. That's all he asked at that moment. I'm telling you, with the, literally, if I'm wrong, somebody correct me, that, but with the weight of the world, oh my God. With the weight of the world, amen, laid upon him. Here goes the Son of God walking through that pressing in that garden. Amen. Those disciples just a stone's throw away. The only request, amen, that he made was watch and pray. He come and checked, watch and pray. That's all he made. Can I tell you something? He wasn't asking them to do anything that they hadn't asked him already to show them how to do. That's exactly right. Hallelujah. When I read in the Bible, in Luke chapter 11, the disciples of Christ came to him and said, teach us to pray the way that John teaches his disciples to pray. Glory to God. Amen. The emphasis is not that he was asking Christ to take the method or the words of John and teach them John's way. But he was just saying the way that John took time and taught his disciples to pray. Oh Lord, teach us to pray. I just wonder today, how many times have we asked God, oh God, show me this. Oh God, teach me this. Oh God, reveal it. Oh God, remove it. Oh God, lead me. And time after time, when we have been the ones that have asked God to do for us what we stand in need for, and then at a moment of conflict and in a moment of crisis, amen, glory to God, when the Lord is standing looking and waiting, amen, for that which we've asked for, amen, to be done. Oh my God, all of a sudden we're found wanting, we're found without. But they ask him, listen, oh my, I've already said it, amen, we got to have preaching. But can I tell you, they did not ask him to teach them how to pray, I mean preach. They did not ask him, oh Lord, teach us, amen, how to grow a church. Now you gotta have all that according to the word. They did not ask him, oh Lord, grant unto us, amen, miraculous working power, because I declare unto you, I am persuaded, amen, that all of that, it comes, amen, with a prayer life. I said it comes with a prayer life. And when I heard Brother Messer, my God, we begin to expound about what all that this great Pentecostal blessing is. It's like the Spirit of God stirred me and said, that's exactly, amen, a similar example of what prayer is. It'll produce all of that. But I declare unto you, amen, a man that tries to do anything without praying, amen, may accomplish for a while in the flesh, but it'll bring disaster in the end. See, one of the things that I found in my life is that too many times we just offer up prayers. Oh, like throwing rice at a wedding. Bird seed at a wedding, somebody. We throw it up. We don't know where it's going. We don't know where it's going to land. But I'll tell you right now, if we'll go back to the pattern. Hey, man, they ask him, according to Luke chapter 11 and Matthew, Luke recorded, but Matthew expounded on it so much greater. Amen. Exactly. Amen. How they were to pray. I want to say it again. They didn't ask him, teach me how to preach. Teach me how to grow a church. Teach me how to have great services. They didn't ask him, teach me how to have a fundraiser. Come on now. They didn't say, teach me and show me another promotion or another way. They said, teach us how to pray. Oh God, David Livingston would do better. Amen. I said, I'd do better. Trinity Full Gospel Church in Stanley, amen, would benefit more. Amen. For my desire to be, oh Lord, teach me to pray. Let me be found. I said, let me be found. Amen. In an attitude of prayer that brings forth action. Abraham said two things that really intrigued me, that stirred me, I guess I could say. One thing, he told those servants, he said, the lad and I are going to go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And the second thing, when Isaac asked him, he said, Father, here's the wood and here's the fire. He said, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, son, the Lord shall provide himself a lamb. Glory to God for a sacrifice. I declare unto you, amen, the question, how did Abraham know that? I tell you, he knew it because not only did he pray and was he a praying man, but Abraham built altars, glory to God. I said he built them when God called him to come out and he first left. The Bible says he built an altar. Just a few verses later, he was building another one when he got caught up in something and found himself in Egypt. When he finally, he just went down there to sojourn. That's what the Bible says. But thank God he did come out. And when he come out of Egypt, the Bible says he went back to the place where he had built the altar before. And then, right there, hallelujah, when he told his son, the Lord will provide, the Bible says that right there on that mountain, amen, he built an altar. I declare unto you that praying, it'll cost us something. Amen. I've heard it preached, Brother Smith. Amen. That revival is costly. But I'll tell you what the commodity is. It must be a prayer life. But praying's going to cost us something. And if we're willing to pay the price and build the altar, you realize, amen, that those Old Testament saints, when they built that altar, that signified, amen, and designated there was going to be a sacrifice. Abraham built that altar. And I declare unto you, if we'll build the altar, if we're willing, amen. Listen, I'm not against praying while you're driving down the road. Sometimes you have to do that for the situation. Amen. But I believe God's calling us to more. Amen. Than just praying. Amen. When we're riding down the road in the car. I believe God's calling us to more. Amen. Than just a 5-minute prayer. If we can get to church on time. Come on, somebody gonna hit me. Amen. I believe God's calling us. Amen. To a time and a life of prayer that's gonna cost something. It's gonna cost us. You're gonna have to build a prayer life. Amen. You got to build an altar. Amen. You're going to have to realize and recognize. Amen. And declare. Amen. That what I'm building. Amen. It demands. It demands a sacrifice. But I declare unto you, I have found God faithful. I have found him true. Amen. I have found him to stick closer than a brother. I've never found him. Amen. To fail. And God has always shown himself. And I'll just tell you right here. Everything that I felt God dealing with me about, amen, to give up and to get out, glory to God, he never left the voided space in my life. He never left an empty space. He filled it every time. Oh, I know I may not be preaching to everybody, and I didn't come, amen, for anybody to think that I'm trying to preach, amen, as if people don't pray. But what I do feel, amen, is that this is of the uttermost necessity, amen, and that we realize that all that the Lord was doing was asking those disciples, amen, to fulfill what they had asked him to teach them. Listen, it's amazing to me, amen, oftentimes men and women are known, they have a label or a name, and they're known by what they do. And it amazes me that there's a man, his last name was Hyde. So I don't want to say anything that sounds a little carnal, off color. Amen. But they identified him. His name was John Hyde, but they identified him as John Praying Hyde. Amen. Because he had a prayer life. Somebody say amen. And I have found in what little bit I've been able to do and study, I have found that every great move of God, every great revival, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Every great revival, whether it's been from the past or the present. Listen, you can have some strange fire. You can have a turbulent wind blow through. But I have found that every true move of God that has come in our present hour has come not because we have the most talent, not because we have the greatest singers, but because there's a people that recognizes God's a calling me to pray. God's a calling me to pray. God's a calling me. I tell you what prayer do. It will certainly move God. Raised in a Pentecostal preacher's home, running from God, rebelling against what was right. Coming within a few months of the age of 21. But I thank God I had a mom and a daddy. I guess they just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And seeing their son, amen, that they had dedicated to the Lord and given to God. Oh, and they began to pray. And they took those prayer cloths. Say amen. Oh, I believe in them. Amen. I don't put my faith in a little piece of cloth, but I do in what they represent. I do in what the Word of God says, but it comes through prayer. And they said, we're going to do something about this. They begin to anoint prayer cloths. Amen. Hallelujah. Unbeknownst to me, they put it underneath my mattress. I didn't know it, but it wasn't long. I found all this out afterwards. Hey, glory to God. Wasn't long after that, I found myself sleeping on the couch. Something about it I didn't know. Amen. All of a sudden, amen, I found myself making a pallet on the floor. I found out later, amen, they had been slipping those prayer cloths underneath the couch cushions right where I was asleep. I don't know why, but I got to where I didn't want to drive my car. I found out later, I know this may sound a little superficial or silly, but listen, I found out later they'd been anointing prayer cloths and making requests. I found out later people would tell me, David, your mom and daddy, they'd ask and request prayer when you wasn't here. They'd say, pray for my son. He's lost. He needs to be saved. They anointed those cloths and put them under the seat in my car. I got to where I just didn't want to drive it. But I'm so glad one day on November the 25th, 1985, about 7:30 that night, that God come by. So I'm glad somebody prayed. I'm glad a church answered the call to prayer. I'm glad God will still answer. Woo! Glory! It'll cost us something. You're going to have to put up the ball. I'm not against having fun. My goodness, you hang around me a little while. Maybe you'll laugh a little bit. And you'll see I'm not against going out and shooting the ball. But I'll tell you right now, we're going to have to put it up. Hey, glory to God. We're going to have to do more and clean out our closets, Brother Bill. Glory to God. We're going to have to cut some things off and throw some things out, literally and spiritually. Amen. To answer the call to prayer. What I got to say, amen, is I'm glad today, amen, that God, He will respond. You want to move Him? Amen. Receive the call. Answer the beckoning call. God, I'm coming to pray. Prayer's worship. I believe that. I believe the Bible bears witness to that. Praying is worship. Somebody said it already in the convention. It's not just asking, but it's listening. It's listening. This is one of the reasons why I think prayer is worship. What I have learned, and if I don't get exactly right, I'm sincere. Amen. I have found that word worship is derived from a word that means worth-ship. I think that's right. Which signifies the value. The value of who we worship. And that's why prayer is worship. All of the other goes with it. Amen. I honestly believe, amen, that the worshiping song, it sets the atmosphere and sets the tone for the word. I know sometimes God comes by and aren't you glad that He does? Amen. He'll do that when we pray, say amen. I said He'll do that when we pray, glory to God. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, it sets the tone and sets the atmosphere. Amen. It gives the response and the answer, amen, to a people that pray. I want to tell you, I'm glad. I thank God for holiness. I want to tell you, I look around. I thank God for you good people. Amen. I haven't always walked in this upright way, but I'm glad God is still faithful. If you believe it, say amen. And so I want to tell you, I'm thankful, amen, for all of you good people. Amen. And I believe if we're going to have what we know God wants to give us, if we're going to see, amen, what I know God wants to show us, it's going to come through prayer. Prayer root out everything in our life. I'm glad God's still a pulling. Say amen. Prayer may be a little work, but it's worth it. It may cost you something, but you'll never expend all. When David bought that threshing floor, he said, I offer God, and I'm not going to offer him something that costs me nothing. Ornan wanted to give it to him. He said, I'm not going to offer God that which cost me nothing. If all I do is pray a few minutes riding down the road in my car, take a few minutes before service starts, I'm offering God that which cost me nothing. But can I tell you something? If we'll go by the pattern and the way that God has declared. I want to say just a couple of things and then I'll be finished. What would it be like if we look back in the scripture and some of the great men of God that the Almighty has called upon to do for him things that only he could equip and enable them to do, decided, I'm not going to go by that pattern. I'm going to change it just a little bit. I'm going to do it the way that I think it fits for the moment of time in which I live. I'm going to do it in the way for which I think the people will be most responsive to it. Amen. And acceptable to it. What if that happened? If they decided, I'm just going to change it a little bit. What happened if Noah, when God told him, make an ark of gopher wood, and he said, pitch it within and without. What if Noah would have said, no, I'm not going to do it. I think I'll just go, I'll pitch it without, and God won't see what I do within. I won't pitch it within, and that way, amen, I don't know exactly what the substance was, but I know it was sufficient, and I know it was secure in order to seal, I heard it said, in order to seal and keep the flood waters out. But God said, pitch it without and within. What if Noah would have said, no, I think I spent too much time building this ark. Amen. I'm going to pitch it without. God will see that, but he won't see what I do or what I don't do within. I believe God is big and great enough, sovereign and almighty enough. He didn't have to have that ark pitched, but that's what he told Noah to do. Amen. There's significance, there's symbolism, there's purpose in the reason that he done that. And what I want to say, had he not, the waters, the flood waters of judgment would have invaded that ark and everybody would have been killed. What I want to tell you is, I think we'd do better, amen, to pitch our life with prayer instead of trying to patch it, amen, with satisfying men. His family would have been lost if just one thing he would have left off or left out. But I think if we'll pitch our life with prayer, seal it, amen, with the abiding presence, I think we ought to pray. Not just till we pray through, but I think we ought to pray, amen, until we pray with the Spirit and with understanding. Glory to God. Amen. That's why I'm glad I'm rooted in Pentecost. Amen. I think we ought to pray, amen, until we'll build up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I said, I think we ought to just pitch our life with prayer. Amen. What would have happened? What would have happened if Moses hadn't built the tabernacle according to the pattern that God gave him to build it? What if he said, I'll put the door in another place? And we really don't need all that furniture. Amen. Isn't just one or two enough to point toward Christ? Isn't that enough to show the people no? Amen. Because he's all that. Glory to God. What if, Moses said, we don't need that brazen altar. We don't need that. Or what if he'd have said, we don't need that laver, that water, that washing. Amen. We'd see the mess we see today.
amen, in the worldly church, amen, where they took away and left out instead of having it. What if he'd have said, amen, I'm just going to do it just a little different. It'll please the people more. It'll make it easier on them. I'll tell you what would have happened. He would have pointed a different way. They would have tried to enter through another way, and they would have never had what God wanted them to have. What happens when we try to do it another way? Listen, just a stone's throw away is all they were. Not only is Jesus our teacher of prayer, but he's our example of prayer. And then what I sort of see is, in and through the New Testament, Paul was, he's the purveyor of prayer to the church. If I read right, I tried to, every letter he wrote to a church, he mentioned, I'm praying for you. Always with all prayer, I make mention of you. Even to the point of the Galatian church, he mentioned to them, wherefore in our hearts we can cry, Abba, Father. Listen, only the people of God can pray. That's why it's important that we answer the call. That's why it's important that we teach and we show, amen, how to pray more than everything else will come. I believe that. I believe that everything else will come, and it'll come in order. It'll come right. We'll see a result. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He mentioned to every church about prayer and about praying. Even to the point, I believe it was to the church at Thessalonica. I believe it was one of the churches he mentioned, that I make mention to God always because your faith is heard and known throughout the world. There in that moment of time, this is what I do believe. I believe we're standing on the brink of an outpouring. I do. I believe we're on the brink of an outpouring. But at the same time, I believe we're standing on the banks of an uprising. I believe with all the turmoil that's going on in the world, all of the hatred, all of the division, all of the strife. But listen, isn't that the way really that it's always been? Wasn't that the way that it was in the day of Christ? Didn't he face all of the turmoil? Isn't that the way that it was in the days of the apostles? Come on now. But the church was a praying church. I can't understand, amen, why one apostle was beheaded and another one was delivered, amen, by the hand of God. But this I know, the early church apostles and the early church never wavered in prayer. They were praying before James was killed, and they were praying after. They were praying when Simon Peter was thrown in the jail. And the Bible says that prayer was made without ceasing unto God by the church. And I declare unto you, amen, that even then, standing on the banks of an uprising, persecution everywhere, amen, when men from Asia would follow Paul all the way back to Jerusalem just to try to deliver him to death, he's on the banks of an uprising. But I tell you, he knew, and the church is on the brink of an outpouring. Come on and stand with me this morning. You'll find nothing great in me except you find Christ. You could pick out so many flaws and so many failures. But something, brothers and sisters, that we have endeavored to try and do at our church. And we're not the first, but we tried to bring our youth. We've got a small group, and we've tried to bring them at least every month to have a prayer meeting. I told you, I'm not against having a good time. I'm not against activities. But I'll tell you right now, more than anything else, I heard Brother Ralston last night talk about that young boy and a pigskin. It could be anything. But I tell you, sports has become a god in the little town that I live in. Brother Meekum and Brother Smith live close to where I do. So, and I tell you, in the little town of 3,500, that's the god of Stanley. There's more churches in our town. There's enough churches in our town. I've looked at it. There's enough seating capacity. I'm not saying they're all right. I'm just saying there's enough churches that everybody in Stanley could have a place, oh yeah, without being squeezed. But Brother Pete's sports has become a god in the little town that I live in. They spend more or as much money in our city government paying for the complex, paying for the director, paying for the activities. They'll send them down to Orlando, little bitty boys, to play in a little bitty football Super Bowl. It's become a god. When I moved there, they didn't play sports on Wednesday night. They at least had enough respect to honor. Amen, God. They didn't do anything. The city said no, but not long after that, because it becomes so popular. Now they're playing every day. What I'm trying to tell you is more than anything else. It is prayer. It is prayer. It is prayer. We've tried to endeavor at least once a month to have a prayer meeting to where they come in. We try to give a Bible study. Amen. We're trying to encourage some of the young ones. Amen. And they're all young, but to stand up and give a testimony or some type of devotion in the midst of that, and then get in the altar of prayer. Because I'll tell you what, hey, my God, when it comes down to the end, amen, throwing a football, throwing a baseball, shooting a basketball, amen, it's not going to do it. Those things are okay. Listen, I hope nobody falls out with me. Those things are okay in proper order and in the proper place. Amen. Just maybe having a little activity. Amen. But I'm telling you, when it becomes the priority, when it becomes the purpose, you're going to, my God, I'm trying to quit. I said, when it becomes the purpose, when it becomes the pursuit, my God, we've lost it. But I'll tell you right now, amen, when the Lord told, here's why I said, I'm trying to quit. Somebody please come to the piano. That always helps me when I hear that music play. But I'll tell you, when the Lord come back to them, he said, could you not watch and pray that you enter not into temptation? All I'm trying to say, I'm not trying to scold anybody. I'm not trying to teach. Listen, there's so many great pastors here. All I'm saying is, amen, is that I believe that the church is called unto prayer. Whew. Called unto prayer. Glory to God. And there may be somewhere, and I'm not trying to pat anybody. There may be somewhere here, a brother Bill Prescott, a brother Ryan Rawson, a brother Robbie Kelly, any of you other great good brothers. I mean that. I believe you good brothers and you good preachers would feel this same way that I do. I don't want them just to achieve and just to do as much as I have. I want them to do more. I want them to do more. Father, today, how we love you. God, in all of our failures and all of our faults, I'm glad you saw fit. God, you not only reach down, but you come by our way. And with a strong hand of deliverance. And Lord, while we have tried to replace what you have called us to accomplish, Lord, if you could just in my life and in some others, just stir us up a little bit. Stir us up to prayer, to seeking your face, searching your ways, being led, being taught, being shown. Lord, for all that's done, we shall forever praise you. God, if I could ask anything, give us a praying church and a praying people. Make me a praying man, a praying husband, a praying father, and a praying preacher. That when I take what I've heard from this convention, if I don't mix it with prayer. But when I take what I've heard from this convention and I mix it with prayer, oh God, it flows like a mighty river. And oh Lord, grant it. I'm going to ask you, church, all I want, I wonder if we could just gather on the altar for a few moments and just seek God and say, God, if there is anything in my life that would keep me a stone's throw away, He's in sight. God, move it. God, if you don't have anything, pray for this little preacher right here. Oh, God, make us a praying people.